NPR.
This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith.
And I'm Darian Woods.
And I'm Adrian Ma.
And today on the show, the Russian invasion of Ukraine. We've been watching all of these scary and horrific images unfolding on TV. And, you know, here at The Indicator, since all of this started, we've been talking a lot about what this means for Ukraine, for Russia, for Europe, for all of us.
And this is a fast-moving story. NPR is going to be covering it from a lot of different angles. But here at The Indicator, we're going to do what we do best and pull out some of the important economic threads from this conflict.
So today, three Russia-Ukraine indicators. Three economic stories that can shed light on what's going on.
Like what this might mean for global oil prices. How this might impact the global supply chain in unexpected ways, including inside of your car. And how big Russia's economy is, really. And why that number might be a little deceptive. All that after the break. So today on the show, three Russia-Ukraine indicators. Adrian Ma, what is your indicator?
So this indicator has to do with, no surprise, crude oil.
The big one, yes.
This is pretty top of mind. Russia is one of the world's biggest oil producers, and oil is by far its biggest export. Now, most of that oil goes to China and a handful of European countries like Germany and the Netherlands. And so after Russia began attacking Ukraine, what happened was the price of Brent crude oil surged past $105 per barrel. And just for perspective, that is the first time that it's gone that high in about 7 years.
And just to clarify, Brent crude, that is basically one of the most widely traded kinds of oil, one of the main benchmarks for world oil prices.
That's right. And all this is happening at a time when the global oil market is already really tight. Right. So just like thinking back during the pandemic, when things started shutting down, a lot of the world's oil producing countries also ramped down production, which makes sense. Right. People were hunkering down. Entire countries were locked down. But then as the pandemic has begun to ease up, there's been this huge demand for oil again. And the problem is, well, there's a couple things. Right. So some of the countries that had slowed down their production, they're struggling to get back up to speed. But also OPEC, you know, that cartel of oil-producing nations, which includes Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates, they've basically been resisting calls to up their production. And not to mention, there's also a shortage of natural gas. So oil is in serious demand right now.
So even before the Russian invasion of Ukraine, we were already in a situation that was just really pushing up the price of oil. And now it's much worse.
Totally. And energy analysts have been saying that an invasion of Ukraine could further squeeze the world oil supply. So what this could mean for the U.S. is that prices at the gas pump go up, energy prices overall go up. And what that could lead to is the thing that we keep talking about these past months is it could lead to more inflation. There is one way the U.S. could try to counteract the rise in oil prices, which is by tapping its reserves. And the Biden administration tried this late last year. They authorized the release of about 8% of the U.S.'s oil reserves, which is about 50 million barrels. So they put those barrels onto the market, but it didn't really stop the rise in prices from continuing. So even though that's the case, the White House says that if prices continue to spike, they would consider tapping the reserves again.
Okay, big news in the oil market, Adrian. All right. So, Stacey, what is your indicator?
My indicator is $1.7 trillion.
Okay.
In fact, that is the size of Russia's economy. $1.7 trillion, that is their gross domestic product, their GDP, the sum total of all the goods and services the country produces.
Okay. Is that big, small, in the middle?
So, it's actually pretty little. It's smaller than Italy's, India's, South Korea's. But I do think that this $1.7 trillion really punches above its weight. Like Adrian was saying, Russia is just this enormous exporter of oil and natural gas. Europe gets about 40% of its natural gas from Russia and around a quarter of its oil. So I think Russia and Europe's economies are really intertwined. And this is a really fragile moment for a lot of global economies right now. oil, natural gas, these are things like very essential needs for an economy and for a lot of individuals. And so I think Russia's sort of able to like leverage its economic might in a way that is much bigger, much more significant in certain ways than $1.7 trillion.
But of course, you know, oil may be sort of like the headline player here, but Darian, you're going to talk about some of the supporting commodity cast members, right?
Yeah, that's right. Russia's economy is not purely oil and gas. I'm going to talk about another export that is actually really important as well. It makes up 43% of global supply. This one is one of Russia's metal exports. And along with this particular metal, Russia also exports a lot of nickel, aluminum, copper. These metals are key inputs into the global supply chain. And given Russia's attacks and tightening sanctions against Russia, the world is going to see these metals in shorter supply. Prices for these metals and everything that uses them will likely rise. Anyway, enough build-up. I want to talk about the specific metal.
Yes. What is this magical metal?
Yeah, palladium is the magical metal.
So tell us about why palladium?
Look, I didn't know anything about palladium until a year ago. I'm not expecting this is a well-known element on the periodic table. But I actually first learned about it through a friend whose Toyota Prius got partly dismantled on the street by some crook.
What?
So there's been this spate of thefts all across the country, car thefts over the last year or two, with people tearing off people's cars' catalytic converters. Catalytic converters are these devices that clean up your exhaust. They convert carbon monoxide into a less harmful gas. And there was China Steel, the palladium inside, which is the metal that does the work of cleaning up.
Okay, so what are criminals using palladium for? Like, where is the market for all of this stolen palladium coming from?
You know, there are palladium dealers, police have, you know, raided facilities of just catalytic converters piled up, and you can send it back into the black market. It's more expensive per ounce than gold these days, which 10 years ago was not the case at all.
So basically the fact that there's been a push to develop vehicles that are more emissions friendly, meeting stricter emission standards, that has created a big market for palladium, which has in turn created a black market for palladium?
Exactly. So as emission standards get tighter and tighter all across the world, that boosts demand for palladium. And where do you get it from? Well, apart from, you know, chop shops on the streets of LA, you'll get it from Russia, which supplies 43% of the world's supply. And look, this seems like maybe a trivial example considering what is going on right now. But I just think this is one example of all the effects that will just ripple out across the entire economy that just show how interlinked we all are and how what's going on in Ukraine is going to affect us all.
No, it's true. And that's a really important thing to keep in mind, I guess, as we're watching everything unfold. This episode of The Indicator was produced by our senior producer, Via Lay, with help from Isaac Rodriguez. It was fact-checked by Corey Bridges. The Indicator is edited by Kate Concannon and is a production of NPR.